Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. Broken Bells has a new album out. It's called After the Disco. It is the second album for the group, which is a collaboration between James Mercer of The Shins and Brian Burton, a.k.a. Danger Mouse, who, by the way, was named one of the most influential people of the 21st century by Esquire magazine. He formed Gnarls Barkley with CeeLo Green and has produced The Gorillaz, The Black Keys, Portugal the Man, and U2. But Broken Bells is a project he's been focusing on with James Mercer since 2009 when the two were working on the first album called simply Broken Bells. Here's the song The High Road. James Mercer and Brian Burton are on tour right now, and when they stopped through Boston last week for a show, I sat down with them in the green room at the House of Blues. You're calling this a project. Is it still a project, Broken Bells, or has it become more than that at this point?
Everything's a project. Probably the loosely... I mean, we're a band, though. You know what I mean? It's not... Project sort of maybe implies that it was something that we were going to record and then see what happened and then say goodbye and be done with it. And that was never really our thought. We were like, let's start a band, and that was the original conversation.
Yeah, that's what it still is. Yeah.
What do you see as the future of it then? Does it have a lot more? Are there a lot more albums to come at this point, or do you think?
Yeah,
should be.
Yeah,
we work well together. We work quickly together, and it's fun. You know, so I there's really no reason to stop. You know,
where did After the Disco come from, by the way?
There was a lyric, or it was sort of me just sort of phonetically trying to sound out stuff while I was riffing melodies, and it sounded kind of like I said After the Disco, and Brian thought that was cool, and then we just kind of, I think maybe we just decided, well, let's just use that and we'll layer it and we'll have that and placeholder, and then we just fell in love with it. It just seemed to sort of sum up this sort of melancholy after the party, maybe, and then it became sort of symbolic to us a little bit. It's like after your youth and, you know, finally facing reality and stuff like that.
The song that everyone has heard already is Holding On for Life, which people, I'm sure you've heard, and actually I think you've talked about the fact that they're comparing it to the Bee Gees.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the chorus has a sound that certainly, like, vocally, when I stepped into the control room and heard those sort of layers, I immediately was like, whoa, it's got a Bee Gees vibe to it. Songwriting-wise and production-wise, it's probably not very similar. It's really just kind of that one aspect of it. But, I mean, my God, you know, the Bee Gees wrote such incredible stuff and did it so well. To be compared to them is kind of quite an honor, actually. It doesn't do them justice, I think.
Yeah, we're not trying to say it, shy away from it as if it's a bad thing. It's just, it was an afterthought for us, really. It's more of just a thing, you know. Like to me, a lot of the stuff like that sounds like the Four Seasons, like Frankie Valli. Mm. It has that. Whenever you sing in a certain high range falsetto like that, real melodically, it has that feel to it. And the Bee Gees did that. Are the most famous at doing that, but a lot of stuff, if you sing that way, it's going to sound like that.
Okay, you bring up the Four Seasons. Now I want to ask you both what you listened to when you were growing up.
Well, they would have been, you know, they're presence
before
on the
your
radio.
Time. Probably.
Yeah, you know, but they but then they had the stuff that they did for the Grease soundtrack, right? Sure, that stuff was on the radio anyway. They're one of my favorite things ever, actually. But you know, the Beatles is a huge thing that I think Brian and I both love.
I didn't really grow up listening to the Beatles, but I just, you know, I had an 80s pop, top 40 stuff in the early 80s, and then R&B soul music that my parents were listening to was just always in the background. And then hip-hop music, really, when it started, I was living in New York and hearing that a lot. And especially when I moved to the South, I listened to that a lot more. Things like Outkast and Goody Mob eventually, things like that.
I came to see your show a few years ago in New York at Terminal 5 when the first album came out. And if you look around the room at that show anyway, people in their 20s, 30s, even 40s, but that was basically the demographic of it. Who are you writing for when you are writing?
I don't think we think about the audience. I think we're with each other, really. I think it's just James and I seem to just kind of write for each other and try to impress each other and just want to make something that we like, and then we'll figure out where it falls after that, you know. I definitely don't think that what we did this time was typical or would easily fit into anything, so for better or for worse.
James, you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I don't know. It's, you know, people probably do that to some effect, you know, think like, okay, we're going to sell this to the kids. It's got to have this and that. And I mean, but really we're just sort of in the studio experimenting, playing around until we find something cool. And then we grab onto it and try and elaborate, you know, and it's not as sophisticated, I guess, as that.
How do you guys like playing live?
I'm liking it much more this time. I'm a little less nervous this time. I usually not a big live person, not really a performer, more of a creator, but I feel comfortable, surprisingly, this time around. I don't know. I think I'm just more, I guess, more experienced, I guess, with doing it. So it's getting better for me.
But you prefer to be behind the scenes, or at least where people can't see you?
Yeah.
Can you talk, by the way, about what it means to be a producer for people who don't understand what that means in the role that you've had in so many? Yeah.
I mean, it's just basically trying to bring a vision of something to from beginning to the end. And if you're lucky, the people you're working with have you have similar visions. And sometimes, you know, sometimes if you don't, you know, you have to convince them. And sometimes if you do, it still doesn't always go great. But you're basically trying to get something, a finished record with the sound, with a certain feel. I have an idea in my head of what I like about what people do. And I try to make a whole album out of what I like about what a certain person does. Some people do a lot of different things, and I happen to like a few of them. And try and do a whole record just on those things. And that's just what I like to do. And some people like that, some people don't, but that's just my way of doing it. So it's trying to get something interesting for a whole record that's just those things. So sometimes it winds up making people do things they haven't done or whatever.
Have you guys been on the same page all along? You must have had disagreements about...
Yeah, I mean, the way we've worked it out, though, we have this sort of understanding where if either of us don't like something, we have the ability to sort of just veto that thing. You know, if we're just, I'm not feeling it. Okay, whatever, we'll figure something else out. And Brian's really quick to move on if that's necessary, and I am too. So I think that keeps things flowing.
Okay, finally, let me ask you each what your favorite song on the album is.
Gosh, I don't even know. Probably The Angel and the Fool right now.
That one's really cool. I was going to say Medicine. It's my favorite right now.
Well, James Mercer, Brian Burton, Broken Bells, thank you so much for speaking with us. Have a great time on your tour.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.